السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله متم نوره ولو كره الكافرون. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, our sisters listening over receivers, we know that throughout the world today, practically in every masjid, the talk will be focused or centered on what is happening in Palestine. You can consider this an extension of whatever I had mentioned in the bayan and in the talk on the eve of the 10th of Muharram. But indeed that is true, that whatever is happening in Palestine is the result of the collaboration of the Muslim Ummah against their own Muslim brothers and sisters and children. We are talking about that large portion of the Ummah that is in the Muslim lands. Of course, it's not the general public. The anger in the public is evident. They are restless. They are helpless. If they are only given the liberty to go and assist their Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine, they would do so immediately. But all these borders are restricting their movements. But we are talking about the governments. We just can't imagine how they can watch such kind of destruction, disaster, and as I say, pillage and plunder. How can they watch? One of the news items was, and this was from a person reporting from within the Gaza, said that one house that had been bombed, 5 children, husband, wife, and then another one where there were little children around the bodies of their mothers, thinking that their mothers are still alive, waiting to be given some milk or some bread. But for 4 days, those animals did not allow even the ambulance to reach that quarters. After causing the destruction, they don't even allow the ambulance to reach. We know that the hospitals cannot cope. The hospitals cannot cope anymore. The bodies in the mortuaries are just rising and rising. Burials are becoming so difficult. Medical supplies have become so limited. The blockade has caused such kind of disaster that we just cannot believe that for 14 days it is allowed to continue. And who do we plead to for help? All these countries with all their ammunition and military might and power, they plead to the United Nations, please come to our assistance. The United Nations, which is the shaitan itself, they are pleading to them for assistance and help. One small little territory, one of the most heaviest populated ones in the world, they've already cut Palestine into 2 parts. Where did we see one small little territory like that with no real power, no real air force, no real navy, or no real military power and might. But there is a siege around, and every kind of military might is being used against them. Fighting the soldiers in the battlefield is a different thing. But bombing the civilians with every power that the person, that little Israel possesses, from the ground, from the air, and from the sea, from all sides, nothing but bombardment, bombardment. And they say, we are very concerned about the civilians, therefore we ask them to leave before we bomb. So we must not think that all this is going unwatched. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. And He is giving an opportunity to those Muslim countries and to the others around the world who are silent and doing nothing about it. Many an opportunity was given. There could not be any better opportunity than this, where it has stirred the hearts of every person who has got some kind of human feeling in him, wherever he may be in the world, of whatever persuasion he may be, so much so that even Christians and Jews and many others, even Jews, many of them, they cannot see what they are seeing. They themselves are now opposing. They are asking for a stop and a ceasefire. It's very easy to just talk and talk. We have heard of so much of speeches from Iran. Lots of people don't want to listen to what I am saying with regards to Iran. That we get carried away with that rhetoric of the president. They wanted to wipe Israel out from the surface of the earth. And so much of other big, bold claims. Where is all the military might of Iran itself? Why are they only blaming now the Arab world or the Muslims around there? Don't they also claim themselves to be great lovers of the Palestinians and of Masjid al-Aqsa? So whether it is the Arab world, and especially countries like Egypt, Bahrain, Qatar, they have got big depots there, and everything is happening from there. The Americans have made their headquarters there. The other countries also are just surviving. They're just surviving on American support. And they are too afraid. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned, that wahan will get you. He said, the time will come when people will get together to devour you. So he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will we be in a minority at that time? He said, no, you will be in a majority. You will be plentiful in numbers. But wahan will get you. And he said, what is that wahan? He said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ, the love of the world and the dislike of shahadat, the dislike of death. That is what will get you. Now, if you have to look at the scenario, this is exactly what is happening, that because of the palaces that have been built, and because of the malls which have been built, and because of the lavish buildings in Dubai and in Bahrain and Qatar and Abu Dhabi, every way you look at it, there's nothing but construction. So to safeguard all this construction, they are prepared to watch the destruction of Masjid al-Aqsa or the people of Palestine or the masajid around there. 13 masajid have been bombed, and it cannot stir the hearts of those people who are supposed to be custodians of masajid. 13 masajid in Palestine have already been bombed. One Maghrib Salat, so many were gone. How many things are not reported in the press? We know what the press is doing. The media, what is it doing? It's giving a one-sided picture. Here and there they put in one small article with regards to the legitimacy of Palestinian people to defend themselves. Otherwise the rest of it is nothing but the Hamas's rockets. And Israel's right to defend itself. Is that the right to defend itself? 700 is the count, but how many others were under the rubble, there's no count, how many are gone. More than 200 little babies and little children, innocent ones. Why are they destroying them? Because they don't want them to grow up into soldiers to fight them tomorrow. That is their plan. To destroy those little babies and children, that is behind it. We don't know the thinking of them, the mentality of these Jews. It is right from the time of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the mischief that they caused. The Munafiqeen group that came up, from whom did they come up? They came up from the same Jews. Abdullah bin Ubay ibn Salul. How much of problems he caused for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Munafiqeen group, the hypocrites, they came up from the Jews. This whole story of Karbala which we heard. Abdullah bin Sabah, who was a Yahudi, who was a Jew, he comes to Madina Sharif and he accepts Islam outwardly. And thereafter, from there everything starts. It's a long history. We need days and days to discuss it. But it starts from there. The Masjid-e-Zirar, who built the Masjid-e-Zirar? Read the ayat of the Quran Sharif. There's no time to go into translation and tafsir of the ayat. They build a masjid and tell Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, come and perform salat there to make it legitimate. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala informed him that this masjid is for nothing else but mischief. It is for nothing else but mischief. This is their consultation room. This is their United Nations, or this is their White House. They're calling it masjid. This is where they will do all their planning. So wherever you look at it, they have caused tremendous amount of problems for the Muslim Ummah. However, what is the purpose of us just condemning them when we know that they could not have done what they have done if they did not have the support of Egypt and the other countries who they knew are going to be absolutely silent? In the early days, years ago, the Israelis did not have the courage to go into Palestine. They used to do a lot of things from outside and talk, but they didn't have the courage to take the tanks inside Palestine because they feared that the Muslim world will rise up against them. So a step at a time they took, and they tested the waters, and they saw that every time that they went in, nothing happened. At the most, everybody appealed and pleaded to the United Nations, called for ceasefire. After 14 days of destruction, then now they call for ceasefire. What is left there now? What is left there? So if our hearts cannot feel the pain of the suffering of our brothers and sisters and children and the babies there in Palestine, then there is no Islam and no Iman. Because a Muslim is one that if any other Muslim is hurt or suffers some kind of injury and pain in any part of the world, he also feels the pain, because it's like one body, one body. That if there is a pain in the toe or in the eye or in the head, the whole body feels the pain. It's not just one part of the body that feels the pain. Nobody denies there can be excesses, there can be sometimes certain things which are done in an emotional state, which even Islam and Sharia does not condone. But no religion in the world, and no policy in the world, and no government in the world, and no human being in his true senses can condone and support this kind of bombing and destruction which is taking place. Who can ever support a thing like that? So the masajid are being bombed, hospitals being bombed, schools being bombed, universities being bombed, children bombed, babies bombed, mothers bombed, fathers bombs. What's left? Look at the large number of orphan children now. The numbers are increasing. As it is, they are living a life of refugees. So I repeat what I said in the talk on the eve of the 10th. I mentioned other incidents, but if you have to look at Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, and this is what I repeat, that you will find always a parallel, something that happened in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, which if we have to read will give us some kind of consolation, and it will pick up our moods, and we will come out of that depression, and we will get hope and courage. We will believe that no matter what a person tries to do, no matter what the governments may do, no matter what the hypocrites may do, no matter what Israel does, or in any part of the world the enemies of Islam do. But if Muslims are Muslims, that is the first condition. And this is what we have to ask ourselves. Are we truly Muslims? Namaz, Roza, Zakat, Hajj are fundamental pillars. Just look at that, how much of it is missing in our lives and in the lives of our children, our families. Take our walimas, take our nikahs, take our parties and our festivities, take our holidays and take our merrymaking in which we engage in all those occasions. Just look around and see how many people there are that have the courage to say that now it is the time for salah. We'll be sitting and gossiping away and we'll say the food has just come now and later we'll make salat. Or those that are getting up to make salat, they say these people are gone too holy now. Very holy people, they're making salat. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, the first thing that's of most importance to me is your salat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that without salat in your life, there is no deen in your life. Says the position of salat in deen is like the position of the head in the human body. Many times I've said that you'll find people who are deaf, dumb, blind, and even paralyzed. But if you have to take a bullet and put it through that person's body, the person will be arrested and charged for murder because that person was alive, although he was deaf, dumb, and blind. But if the person's head is off his body, then he could be charged for some minor offense, but he's not going to be charged for murder because there's no head. The person is already dead. 60 to 70% of the ummah in the light of this hadith sharif is dead. But it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan. He's loving, he's merciful, he's kind, he's forgiving. And Allah ta'ala does not tolerate zulm and injustice. He gives a little bit of time to the doers of injustice, but he does not tolerate it. The time comes when those against whom injustice has been done, they take over. So I think the time has now come. So that incident that I'm talking about now is that of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's total boycott. We are talking about the Palestinian territory and heavily populated and all the borders are closed and they cannot get supplies, they cannot get this and that. And they are suffering starvation. But still, if you have to look at Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's suffering, it was not for one day or for 2 days. And who was he? That is the question. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not any ordinary human being like us. Had it not been for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's coming, nobody would have even come into existence in this world. The closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, la yumkinu thana kama kana haqquhu ba'da sqada buzrugtu hi qissa mukhtasar. Impossible to do justice to the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Allah, you the greatest. That's all. 3 solid years he is ostracized and boycotted. 3 solid years. The Quraysh realized that it was becoming very, very difficult to stop this deen of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam from spreading. 2 times the hijrat was already made to Abyssinia at that time, which is the Ethiopia. Under what conditions they must have made hijrat and left Makkah Sharif? Under what condition? Look at the boats on which they sailed right from there and came down to Ethiopia. Did they have the radar system as we have? Did they have all that communication and everything else that we have in present day? What must they be heading for? They do not even know which direction they're really going and what they will face. Whether they will survive the journey, whether the storm is going to cause them to drown in the ocean. But they are going. 12 men and 5 women. Amongst whom is Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. Read the history and see what they went through. But with all that, after everything had happened, and they saw that the king of Abyssinia, Negus, Najashi, he entertained them and welcomed them. So now the enmity increased. And they said the best thing to do is now have social boycott, complete boycott for the Bani Hashim family. Complete boycott. So in one small valley, gorge, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his people are boycotted. And what kind of boycott? That you're not allowed to come into Makkah Sharif to make any purchases. And no food, no drink, nothing is allowed to reach them. And it is written on a scroll, it is written on paper and it is put in, on the Kaaba Sharif. To give it that weight, it is put on the Kaaba Sharif. The total boycott. Nothing must be allowed. Such kind of suffering overcomes them. Only that little food or something which was smuggled in reached them. Otherwise, we would say in the light of present day policies of the Israeli government that there was a total boycott and all borders were closed. Here at least there is a little bit of opening somewhere. A little bit of opening. Or sometimes they stop and they say for 3 hours we will allow you to bring in the medical supplies. Na'udhu billah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. For 3 hours. But if you look at that boycott of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his people, three solid years. Every history book of Islam will tell you that. The time comes when the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam and himself, there's no food, there's no water, little babies are crying. Could not Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala have sent a dastarkhan of food from Jannat for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Could not Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam have descended and destroyed all the people of Makkah Sharif who were doing this? So there was great wisdom, great hikmah. Allah ta'ala only knows what was going to happen until the day of Qiyamah. For the consolation of people like us and for the consolation of people that are in Palestine and those who are suffering hardships and difficulties in Guantanamo Bay and many, many other places with the collaboration of the Muslims, many of them. It was consolation for them that if your Rasul, the greatest after Allah, if this is the kind of boycott that was implemented against them, where the time came when they had to chew leather for survival. They just wash a little bit of a leather piece that they find, camel leather, any leather, and they chew and they chew and they chew. And in whose company? In the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or they take leaves of trees. That became their food. 3 solid years until white ants ate up this crop. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made a way out for them. It was the most difficult period in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a test that must have been for the believers. I have mentioned this before too, that if we had been there at that time, we would have said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we believed in you as the last and the final messenger of Allah, the greatest after Allah, the most beloved to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the one whose du'as are most accepted. Nobody's du'a can be more accepted than his. And the one who has the most amount of miracles. Then why are we still suffering? We would have left him. So therefore, there's nothing to lose hope also. Time will come, inshallah, you will see. Things will change. This is one time that throughout the world, wherever you see any person of a little bit of sense, his anger is boiling. There's so much of du'as that are being made at present, even today in Haram Sharif, in Madina Sharif, in Masjid Aqsa itself, and throughout the world in the masajid. Those du'as will not go in vain. There's so much of things that are coming to my mind at this moment. But we have to watch the clock. So we make deep, deep, deep hearted du'as. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram. Ya Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah. Give hidayat to those zalim Yahudis who are bombarding the masajid or madaris, who are bombarding our children. Ya Allah, who are bombarding the women, who are bombarding the husbands, the wives. They are out. They are hell-bent on destroying the whole of Palestine. Give hidayat, my beloved Allah, to them. Bless them with Iman and Islam. If you could have changed the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid and so many others, what is it difficult for you to change the condition? But if they have become obstinate, they've made up their minds, they will not accept Islam. And they will continue with the tyranny and oppression and suppression and bombardment and destruction. And they will continue with the carnage and with the pillage and with the plunder. Then, my beloved Allah, remove them from the surface of the earth like you remove the Aad and the Samud. Shake the ground beneath their feet. Cause the planes to crash. Cause the ships to sink. My beloved Allah, turn their plotting and planning and scheming against them. Send the gale force winds against them. You are powerful, you are almighty, my beloved Allah. Give a hidayah to those Muslim governments around them to come to the assistance of these mujahideen of Islam, to come to the assistance of the Palestinians who are fighting for the defense of Masjid Al-Aqsa and Islam. Mere Allah unki madad farma, nusrat farma. You are the same powerful almighty Allah that was at the time of Badr. You are the same Allah that was at the time of Uhud. You are the same Allah that was at the time of Trench. You are the same Allah that was at the time of Fatah Makkah. Ya Allah, no weakness has come in you. We have become weak. My beloved Allah, change the condition of the Ummah. Assist and help the Mujahideen of Islam. Bless them with a life of respect and dignity. Mere Allah hamara banja aur hame apna bana le. Remove the pain, the suffering, the difficulty, the hardship and the problems of the Ummah around the globe, and especially those who are suffering the 14 days of bombardment and destruction at the hands of the Zionists and the Jews. Ya Allah, unki madad aur nusrat farma. Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Rabbana taqabbal minna. إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.